The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. On Money FM 89.3, Tech Talk with Wong Kai Yee.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. And you know, Bern, when we started the segment Tech Talk, right, to get analysis of the latest coming out of the tech world, we really were just expecting gadget, devices, software, games, reviews. Mm-hmm. Who knew? Political intrigue, maybe. Machinations would factor into things as well.
Yeah.
Who's undercutting whom? Who stole what from whom? And what did Elon Musk say now?
Yeah. You're right. And of course, this is really something that we're looking forward to today's tech segment. Now it seems that our regular tech contributor, Wong Kai from The Straits Times, is back to give us this week's lowdown. Well, Kai, Apple has agreed to cough up some $500 million to settle litigation accusing it of quietly slowing down older iPhones as it launched new models, which was apparently done to induce owners to buy replacement phones or batteries. So more importantly, Kai, who is eligible for this payout and how much per iPhone is Apple liable for?
Okay, sure. I promise you guys, well, we'll bring it back to the gadget segment towards the end of this. I promise you guys I'll do
thank
that.
Thank you, so thank you.
Let's look at some really interesting news. Apple has agreed to cough up this money in order to settle this litigation. You know, that people have been saying, well, it's basically throttling its iPhone through software updates. So some people have been claiming that Apple has been releasing software updates and saying artificially throttling their iPhones to make them think that, oh, my phone's slowing down, I got to buy a new phone, right? So the class action settlement was disclosed on Friday night, and it basically calls for Apple to pay consumers $25 per iPhone, which could be adjusted up or down depending on how many iPhones are eligible. And the lawsuit calls for a minimum total payout of $310 million. So for clarity's sake, Apple has denied wrongdoing and they have settled the nationwide case, nationwide being in the US only, to avoid the burdens and costs of litigation. Looking at just US owners only, the settlement covers owners of the iPhone 6, 6 Plus, 6S, and all the way up to the 7 Plus.
Wow.
What's so caused this whole thing, though, in the first place?
Right. So consumers, and through some technical sleuthing, they realized that their phone's performances were suffering after they installed some Apple software updates.
See, I told you, intrigue.
Exactly. So much intrigue. And, well, you know, I think people slowly became aware that, hey, my phone's just over 2 years old. It's got plenty of battery left. How come it's
sluggish?
Sluggish, dying over the course of the day. And then basically the updates were misleading them into believing their phones were nearing the end of their life cycles. So they were, oh, we need to go and replace that, my battery, or I need to buy a new phone. Mm. And Apple also stepped up with coincidentally stepped up with a battery replacement program.
Well, total global smartphone sales, Kai, fell in the last 3 months of 2019. I mean, compared with the same period the year before. And interestingly, Apple and Xiaomi recorded small year-on-year increases. I mean, give us a picture of the overall health of the smartphone market, especially with regards to Huawei. Good to see a drop in their sales due to the trade ban.
Right. So just to preface this, the figures are pre-coronavirus, shall we say, last 3 months of Q4 2019. So overall, in the last 3 months of last year, consumers bought 406.6 million handsets that period. But that is a drop compared to the 408.5 million a year earlier. So smartphone leader Samsung actually sold marginally fewer units year on year, though its market share remained the same at 17.3%. Apple sold some about 5 million more mobile devices compared with Q4 of 2018, and its market share increased by just 1.3 percentage points, falling just short of Samsung. So Huawei, you know, as we all know, they've been affected by the trade ban. So it's in third place, saw a small decrease in sales for the fourth quarter, well, you know, Huawei now basically cannot use Google's version of Android and subsequently Google's entire suite of apps, so including Gmail, Google Maps, all the good things that you and I have come to expect of Google, right? Unfortunately, I think, not unfortunately, but I think the restriction basically doesn't have that much impact on Huawei sales, because in China, they're already using a forked version of Android. So it's a version of Android that is, you know, Android underlying, its underlying architecture is open source, so people can just take it and do what they want with it. So in China, they've been doing that because they don't have access to the Play Stores. And it seems that Chinese have been buying more and more Huawei devices in what was termed, I believe, patriotic buying. Yeah. So in when Huawei was put on the US trade ban, people were like, no, we're going to support our homegrown brands and we're going to buy more Huawei products.
Does that mean sales figures may go up this year as a result?
That's actually true. But in the long term, it's a bit uncertain for Huawei because...
Also have to factor in COVID-19.
Exactly. And having said that, for the rest of the brands as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we absolutely don't know how it's going to impact sales this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're tuned to Tech Talk right here on Money FM 89.3. We're chatting with our ST Tech contributor, Wong Kai Yi. Well, if you have a baby monitor at home or indeed any sort of a home surveillance device, it might be prudent to kind of change your passwords. Security experts have warned that hackers could get access to them and compromise your privacy. It's going to be worrying right now, Kai Yi. What could hackers do with such devices?
Turn everything off, that's what. Right.
Turn your lights off, Turn your fan on randomly. When it's all connected to the internet, we all got to start to worry about things randomly turning on in the middle of the night.
Mm.
And we know it's no ghost. It's a hacker. Right. So essentially, hackers can hack into these devices because people have not changed their passwords for these, for example, like home surveillance cameras or baby monitors or what have you. I'm pretty sure a lot of people, when they buy devices like that, you know, they're so happy to set it up for the first time. They go home, you know, they set up this camera and then they just leave the password there. They don't change it. And the password is almost invariably, I've realized, it's like 0000.
I was thinking it'd be more complicated, like 1234 or something.
Oh, that's going to be a hard one to crack. Oh,
I know.
Yeah, change the password to like something like admin, for example. So yeah, hackers, all these devices, they're potentially open to hacks because number one, people don't change their passwords. And it's in a setting that is quite intimate. It's inside your house. You know, hackers can turn, if they gain control of these devices, they can turn them on and off at will, like you mentioned earlier. And you know, when it comes to like things like baby monitors, that's even more dangerous, right?
Mm. This has got to be a wake-up call, right, to people to pay more attention to the security of their home security devices, definitely, ironically, as they're called.
Exactly. Like anything, you own your computer, your phone. No, you set a... I mean, okay, I set a strong password on my phone, but I have seen phone passwords, like iPhone passwords. People just enter in 1111, and that's it. I'm sure somebody somewhere, many more than one person, has that password as their phone password, right?
Okay. Yeah, stop looking so guilty, Bernard.
It's very easy. It's so convenient. You just click 1-4 times and you're into your phone. But, you know, we have to be really aware of such things. So a couple of steps for people if they want to increase their, to improve the security on these kinds of devices. So change the default password. That's the first thing. Change it to something involving numbers and letters, right? Mm. Like they always tell us when we change our passwords at the office. Change it to something unique.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So a combination of letters and numbers, and also keep the camera software, which is called the firmware, keep it updated. So when updates for it, always apply them because this improves the security. And if you don't need features, for example, like a remote access to the camera, just switch it off.
Mm, okay.
That gives the attacker one less vector to attack the device.
Okay, Kai, before we let you go, as always, you have an interesting tech fact for us.
See, I promise I'll bring it back to the gadget-focused nature of this
show.
We
appreciate it, yes.
And so, since you were talking about smartphones earlier, many people think the first smartphone was the iPhone, right? Because it was flashy, it was Steve Jobs, you know, it was, 1990? How long ago was it? Geez, 2000 and something, early 2000s. It was actually the IBM Simon released in 1994.
Hmm.
I bet
no one knows about this. Yeah, no one's heard of that, right? Yeah. How big was it?
Yeah.
As big as a laptop.
1994. Well, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It's basically, you know, one of those phones from the mid-90s, one of those big black Ericssons.
That you used to see in a lot of Hong Kong films. Big Brother Big, they used to call them.
Yeah, the Big Brother Big, they used to call it. Exactly, right. So imagine one of those massive phones just had this keypad replaced with a screen. And there you have it. That it was the first PDA, I think, used to call it back then, a personal digital assistant.
Mm.
Yeah, like something out of the like Palm Pilots and all that. Unfortunately, the IBM Simon, the battery only lasted an hour.
An hour? What can one do on social media for an hour? Nothing, really.
Well,
nothing.
We didn't have social media
That's
back
true.
In 1994.
Uh-huh.
I mean, people were sending emails. That was the in thing to do, right?
And also sending SMSs, I think.
SMSs and emails. And when you send an email on your phone, you've hit the big time.
Mm-hmm. Wong Kai-yi, Straits Times tech contributor, joining us every Wednesdays for Tech Talk. Kai-yi, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.